Stewardship is, list some of your stewardship activities. Just write it down. As, please. Let's see, feed the cat, clean the garage. Number three, what is your most challenging area of stewardship? Four, on a scale of one to five, with one being great, this is a Likert scale, write your stewardship. What do you think about your stewardship? Are you hitting it out of the park or fouling out? Number five, how often do you talk with God about stewardship? Number six, who is teaching you how to be a better steward? Number seven, what makes your stewardship possible? So as I said, we're gonna do a sermon series on stewardship, and today we start with it's all about attitude. We're also gonna next week look at it's about all of your life, and then we're gonna dive in and think about stewardship as teamwork, and then finally we're gonna also talk about your offering. Except for stewardship is not just about. It's the three T's. It's time, talent, and treasures. So let's pray. Dear Lord, help us to think more about all that you have given to us, that we may be better stewards of it. Thankful for the care you have given to us in Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so in the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God, stewardship is a huge, huge topic. And it starts with God. It starts with God. In the beginning, how did the little book say God made the heavens and the earth? I mean, it's amazing. The Hubble telescope is taking pictures of a world we can't even see. The universe is huge. And we say, God made it. It's amazing. I mean, I could go in detail about this. It's just amazing what God has done. The things we are learning. There's a sun that is so big, you can't even see our sun next to it. Canis Majoris, I'm probably slaughtering the name of it. And this is the valley I grew up in. It's an amazing world that we live in. It's an amazing world, and it was made by God. We call this the doctrine of creation. God made everything out of nothing, ex nihilo. And he even now sustains us. He didn't make it and run away. He made it and he sustains it. If he did absence himself from it, whatever it is, whatever he absences himself from, it ceases to exist. So God is the creator and the sustainer of all things today. And you know, we acknowledge this in the Apostles' Creed where we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I mean, so much is said in that first article. So few words saying so much. And it means that it's all God's stuff. But we hear how he gives a lot of stuff to us. So what is our God-given job description of stewardship? We hear in Genesis chapter 1, the following.
According to our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them,
be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.
And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15,
then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it.
So, what's this called? Stewardship. This is what God has given and asked the human race to take care of. And it covers a lot of different things. It's an amazing thing to think about, having dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. Having dominion over the world that we live in. And that's not an easy thing to do. It's interesting. God actually is all for marriage and children. He would like to see the whole earth filled with them and the whole earth subdued. That's what God intends for us to carry out in our life. And the old-fashioned encapsulated word for all of this starts with S. It's stewardship. It's an amazing thing. How far away the understanding from stewardship in its whole picture has gone. It has become such a bad word, some churches don't even want to use it in its language anymore. Let's get rid of the word altogether, because everybody knows when we talk about a stewardship, it only has to do with money. Well, far from the truth. Stewardship covers the whole length and width and breadth and height and depth of your life and my life, across the spectrum of who and what you and I are. It's stewardship. It's stewardship. So, Ken and Christine, you can sit down for a minute. Okay. So, yeah, I'll try to be brief, but I'll try to steward this well. But stewardship, this is what it's about. But we've got to get into it now. The word steward or stewardship simply means to manage. We are taking care of, we are working with someone else's stuff. We are stewarding simply on behalf of someone else. Because who owns everything? God does. Or how much of what you have are you going to take when you die? I mean, you even have to leave your body behind. You can't even take that with you. So keep in mind, everything you have, as much as you think you have it, is really on loan to you from God. It's all His. And you're supposed to be taking care of His stuff. That's called stewardship. But what are some of the examples? I'm going to have you write these down. We are to steward, I know, gosh, I'm going to just make it a pain right away. Our bodies. Your body is something that you need to steward. How many of you are married? Stewarding a marriage is a part of God's design. You are a steward to your kids. You are caring for children. Parenting is the more popular term from children stewardship. Yeah, you could have some fun maybe with some people. So how many kids do you have? Well, I'm stewarding about 3. As best as I can. Sometimes I'm a kid along with him. I mean, you know, parenting is stewardship. How about your job? You know, in the Lutheran tradition, we call your job, get this, ministry of vocation. You don't just have a job, you have a ministry that serves other people with your skills, knowledge, and abilities, so that you can also earn money to care for and steward your home and your family and your life. So let's go on. How about prioritizing work, family, hobby? That's another one. Write that down. Other stuff to steward? How about the St. Paul Lutheran Church property? Do you know, it's not fair for Carl Patterson to think that he has to handle all of this. Who owns all of this? We do, for a while. But it's God's. But who has God? Okay, Linda. And this is a participatory sermon, by the way, so you'll see more as we go. So if God owns this, who has he entrusted it to? Who? Carl needs to hear this loud and clear. He's not here to do everything for us. You know, if he starts doing everything here for us, he's going to have an attitude. Amen, brother? Yeah, he's nodding his head back there. I mean, you know, he's not supposed to take care of all this. Neither is Brian. Thank you, Linda. Amen, sister. So did you write that down as something that we're supposed to steward? All right, okay. And how about civic duty? We're a part of a community, a state, a nation. Some of the things we are to manage. Anyone want to write down their garage or their lawn or the spare bedroom that just seems to be becoming more and more a closet or a dumpster if you have a spare bedroom? You know, it's hard to establish dominion. I worked on reestablishing dominion on my lawn yesterday. You know what I concluded this morning? What a waste of time. Really, what a waste of time. I also got in trouble with the city of Frisco because they flagged me for wasting water. And I took offense at it initially, and we'll talk about it later, honey. And now I know the answer to the water bill. I'm sure glad the city of Frisco is helping me steward better. I wish I would have figured this out a lot sooner, but it's hard to establish dominion. It's an amazing thing. I mean, let's go mow the lawn. Do you realize how complicated that can be sometimes? You should talk to our facility manager, or maybe we should call him our facility steward. I like that. Facility steward. Who's helping the rest of us help him with our stewardship. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, no living person is exempt from stewarding God's creation. The challenge is that it can become a real challenge. What's your attitude about all of God's stuff? What's your attitude? Or do you find yourself thinking more and more that it's your stuff and it's not his stuff and you can do anything you want with it because after all, it's yours? I mean, isn't it amazing how our attitude can become such a challenge? I mean, that's why this whole thing starts out with, it's about attitude. Because it's not easy. So what are some of the popular stewardship issues of our days? Okay, just shout them out. Popular. And might be controversial. Come on, you're hearing about it. Climate change. Is that a big issue or what? I mean, it's amazing how many different opinions there are across the spectrum. And that's, isn't that about stewardship, huh? Yeah? How about another big issue? Environment, plastic. I mean, it blew me away when I started hearing the statistics of the plastic that's in our oceans. Or the microplastic that's where? In our food. I mean, it's just amazing. That's a big issue. Anything else? Come on. Student debt? Whether the Republicans or the Democrats are right with what's coming up with the upcoming election. I mean, think about it. These are big issues, and they're all about what? Managing what we have. So I picked these out. I mean, you can write them in if you want. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, how is your life of stewardship going? If now you're beginning to realize that stewardship covers the spectrum of your life, your health, your marriage, your parenting, your going to school, going to work, your retirement. How is your life of stewardship going? And I'd like you to rate your attitude. And the best way to kind of get into the details of it is I want you to look at the list that's generated at Sermon Note 2B. You know, those two columns. And I want you to rate your attitude with each one. So rate how you're dealing with your body. Rate how you're dealing with your marriage. Rate how you're dealing with your parenting. And kids, rate how you're stewarding your teenage-ness. Something like that. So rate your attitude on these categories. Rate your category. I have to tell you, I filled out mine the first time, and I rated myself the first time. Rate yourself, and then let's think together. I don't know about you, but as I look at my ratings, I'm all over the chart. And you know, I really reflected a lot about it in the previous service, and I think I'm being pretty hard on myself. The risky thing for me to do is to show my ratings to my family. It would be kind of interesting to see what my wife thought about how I rated my attitude. Or, you know, to have a family meeting this afternoon, I'm thinking, and talk a little bit about, you know, where we're struggling. Now, here's the deal. If all you do is you focus on all your negatives, it'll just weigh you down. So if you focus on your strengths and chip away at your weaknesses, it's amazing how things can change. But this message today is not about you getting a better attitude. All you need is to get a better attitude. Because it doesn't work. There's more to it. I mean, let me just ask the question, why in the world is it so hard to take care of our bodies? Why does it just seem like no matter what you try to do, you just keep coasting to more undesirable realities in your life? Why? I mean, why is it so hard to be married? Why is it so hard to raise kids? I mean, why do teenagers have such a hard time with their parents? Why in the world are we dealing with so much plastic in the ocean? Why are we seeing challenges between nations? Why is it so hard for a church to work through issues? Why is it so hard to deal with ourselves? See, this is why stewardship is so hard to do. It's because of what happened in the garden, where Adam and Eve relinquished their responsibilities to take the easy way out and believe a lie. So, in the Garden of Eden, the human race relinquished their responsibilities. And in turn, God cursed the earth to the point that it would be a lot more painful to be a farmer, to have a garden, to grow things in North Texas to keep them alive despite the ton of water you pour on them, you build for. God cursed the earth, and it makes it really hard for us to steward all these categories that I've given to you. I mean, even the joys we have in hobbies can become painful. It's fascinating to think about this in terms of what happened, but even more so in what we realize what God has done. To be sure, Isaiah 6:23 says it best, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For what we have earned for all of our bad stewardship is nothing but death and separation from God. But for the one who came to work the rescue." The one who came to take upon himself all the ways that we have failed God in thought, word, and deed, by what we've done, by what we've left undone. In Christ we have eternal life. In Christ the curse is reversed upon this land. Yes, I'll die, but I will live. And I will receive even a better body in the resurrection, and so will you. Not only that, but as we start now digging into these passages, I want you to take heart and take comfort that in your efforts, you will be blessed for Jesus' sake. So let's hear our next reading. This is John 15, verses 5 and 16.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you.
Okay, so let that just wash over you. In Christ, you will bear much fruit. You will be a steward across all kinds of things. I know that's not easy. I mean, if you're like me, you look and you think, gosh, sure wasted a lot of time with that. Sure wasted a lot of time with this. Now, just, you know, let the thoughts go. Trust that you're making a difference. And keep in mind that in your life of stewardship across who and what you are there by God's design. And that what you're going to do will remain. It will accomplish, because it's not just about the yard or the truck or the job. It's about the people in your life, because more than anything else in your life, God has placed you among others so that you can love them and forgive them and work with them, argue and work through issues with them, and accomplish things. That's what it's about. That's what stewardship is. Far more than just about money. It's learning how to care for the people that God, let me use the word, has given to us. And man, that can be hard. It's hard to know how to deal with Pastor Stace sometimes. It's hard to deal with one another at times, but we're a gift to each other. And in Christ, we learn how to care for each other in ways that last. Apart from Christ, we'll screw that whole stewardship up. Family, friends, parents, kids. I mean, why in the world are so many kids raised by their peers? Because their parents aren't plugged into Jesus. Why are so many marriages in America failing? Because the couple doesn't put Jesus in the center of their life together. They're trying to do it on their own. Apart from Christ, how did he say it, Christine? Without me, you can do nothing. How many ways are we not convinced of that and we still try to do things on our own? Take Christ at his word. Let this wash over you. Understand how critical he is in all the aspects of your life. Not only that, but you don't even have to really work. How am I supposed to be married? How am I supposed to have kids? Look at what Paul says to the Ephesians and to us today, Ken.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
All right. So God has foreordained all kinds of things for you to occupy your life with across the spectrum of who and what you are. And so why not ask him for the directions for the day? When you find yourself at work in your ministry of vocation, when you're dealing with stuff in home or you're dealing with neighbors, ask, how can I be a part of this? Or what do you want me to do, Lord? Because that's what it's about. This is your life and my life. This is God's will for us. We are to have a robust life of stewardship across the spectrum of our life, across the different kinds of relationships we have. That is God's will for your life and my life. What do we call that? In one word?
Stewardship.
Stewardship. Stewardship. It's not a bad word. It's actually a good word. The challenge is that if we don't continue to teach about this, it's very hard for us to see the robust picture of what it's all about in our life. Your life and my life. We're his stewards in all kinds of different ways. And that's what God's will is for us. The challenge is that how in the world do you deal with your marriage? How do you deal with parenting? How do you deal with problems at your work or problems at church or problems with the neighbors or challenges with hearing the news about what's going on around the world or those crazy Democrats and Republicans? How in the world are we supposed to deal with all that? It's not easy. The devil's in the details. I mean, we are Christians. We know what Christ has done for us, and so we want to go forward understanding what Jesus has done. But it isn't easy. In fact, we've got a reading that displays that. Let me get to it. Luke chapter 10. Go ahead, Miss Narrator.
Now, as
so, this is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10.
Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said,
Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? tell her. I mean, now the evil eye. The awkward silence. Because she's just jumped into the middle of Jesus teaching a bunch of people in her living room. She's having a come apart, as they call it in Texas or in Kentucky or somewhere. Tell her to help me.
But the Lord answered her,
Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.
Gosh, you know, Martha didn't invite Jesus to just scold him. She wanted to entertain him. She wanted to do everything she could because she loved him. But man, how many ways does that happen to us in marriage? How many ways does that happen to us in parenting? How many ways does this happen to us in friendship? I mean, you know, we start out with the best intentions. You know, we want to be the best we can be, not because we're trying to earn God's favor. We have that favor. We know we're loved. We just want to do the right stuff because it's the right stuff to do. And then we put our foot in the mouth, or we fall on our face, or we just blow it. And now we're taking everyone to task. How many ways? The answer is legion. Gosh, how many ways can we get a bad attitude from 0 to 60 fast? Many, many. And that's the challenge with your life of stewardship and my life of stewardship. Aren't you glad that the key to our stewardship is not our attitude? Amen? Because it's not about our attitude. It's about God's attitude. God's loving attitude. God's forgiving attitude. You can write it in. The key to our life of distinctly Christian stewardship, it's God's loving attitude. And who is God's loving attitude?
Jesus.
Jesus. It's more than just a characteristic of God. It's God in flesh and blood. Jesus. What he did flawlessly. He came. I mean, think about it. The only thing that you and I own is what? Our sin. The ways we fail to be perfect. All the ways that we do things our own way, we don't care about God. We call that transgression or trespassing. For all the ways that we think and we want to do things our own, thinking that everything is ours, we have to own up to all of that. But think about it. Jesus came to ensure that all of that would be taken upon him. So that now we know that God's loving attitude for you and for me is Jesus. Listen, I'd like you to open up your pew hymn book to page 254. 254. To the order of Compline. 254. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and to one another. So this is like a stewardship confession. So, dear sons and daughters of God, I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned against you, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. And I've done the same to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. Yeah, you guys now can absolve me together. Amen. Thank you. Now you. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Boy, you know, how often does this need to be shared in a marriage, in parenting, in friendships? I mean, this is like the go-to thing for stewardship. Our life of stewardship is not possible in our own strength. It's only in the strength of God's love for us. It's God's attitude in his son Jesus. And that's what makes our life of stewardship work. And God, as we heard earlier, and you know, you can write down John 3:16-17. Let's hear this attitude again. And it goes this way: for God so loved the world, I mean, a lot of us have it memorized, so that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And so the Lord has so much in store for you and for me. He wants us to succeed in our lives. He wants us to succeed in what we're trying to do as individuals. He wants marriage and parenting and grandkids. He wants all this stuff to be a joy and not a burden. He wants us to work hard at it. It's not easy, but he wants us to take what he gives to us and be stewards of it. And that's not always easy. And so keep in mind who's always there to help us. Let's hear Matthew 11. It's just 25 and 20, I think, 6. So there's a typo there.
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
So the Lord... You know, it's interesting, the word there for labor, it's copious. Some of you probably took copious notes in college. But, you know, it's being so focused, trying to do everything just perfect. And boy, the more you dig in and dig deep, you realize how hard it is, and it brings a burden. But the Lord understands this, and he promises to give you rest. So what does abiding in Jesus look like? It's Mary. See, Martha didn't understand that in her own home, she was not the hostess. She was the guest. Jesus was the host. Jesus was there. You know, it's so important for you and for me to just be still and know that God is God, and to talk with him about what's going on in our lives, to deal with marriage, parenting, you know, you name it, across the spectrum of our life. Wherever there's more heat than light, talk with the Lord about your life of stewardship and trust that he will care for you and guide you. I mean, don't wait to figure out how to be a perfect spouse to get married. It comes in real time. You can figure it out. Don't wait until you have it all figured out to be a parent. There are still things that happen later on in life that still have you scratching your head. It's about understanding who's always there on tap to help you with whatever you're dealing with in your life, and looking to him and asking for help, because he promises to give us rest. That's what it's about. So we abide in Jesus by trusting in him. We abide in Jesus by trusting in him. And when your life of stewardship looks like Martha in the kitchen, you know, when you just feel like you're just coming apart at the seams, then ask the Lord for help. It's just that one word at the end of that sentence, help, and turn that period into an exclamation point. I mean, it's okay. Just say, help, help me, Lord, I don't know what to do. It's a pretty good biblical prayer. You could even use what Peter said when he was sinking, save me. Isn't it amazing that even as Christians, we can get to places in our lives of stewardship where we feel like, man, this is overwhelming. Just call out, save me. He can put in the details. He can figure it out. So, how can we embrace our lives of stewardship? Write these things down. Top of page 4. By confessing that God is the owner of all that you have and see. By confessing that God is the owner of all that you have and see. How can we embrace our lives of stewardship? Second point, by confessing, yes, same word, your failure in being a good steward. Man, we all fall short of the glory of God. But how can we embrace our lives of stewardship? By trusting that you will make a difference as you love steward. You know, another word for stewardship is love. You know, sometimes I say, where's the love? And I'm just asking, where's the care? Where's the stuff that needs to be done, that needs to be cared for? Where's the love? Because people who have been embraced by Christ want to do the right things. That's the love. And when that love fails, we need to rely back on the attitude that makes our stewardship possible, and that's the Lord. And then finally, by embracing your day as honestly as you can, one step at a time. Your life of stewardship and mine is lived out only in real time in a lot of ways. And most of your stewardship, guess what, is lived elsewhere. The majority of it is in your home. That's your life of stewardship. It's in the relationships that you have in your family and friendships. That's your life of stewardship. You spend a little bit of your life of stewardship with us, but it's minimal compared to the big picture of your life, of managing all that God has given to you. So, God willing, this little trip into stewardship has given you some new horizons, adventures, and discoveries. But there's more. We have to dig deeper into this, and we'll do so, God willing, in the next 3 weeks. But before we conclude, see what you've learned. See how you look at things differently. Fill out the questionnaire. I'm not going to test you on it. But keep in mind, stewardship is not an option. It's only a question of whether or not we realize that we need to steward something before it gets to be a whole lot harder to deal with. Like a crazy water bill because of a sprinkler system that I refuse to listen to my wife closely about. And that's just one of the little things that happens. So fill it out. Stewardship is. Number 2, list some of your most challenging stewardship activities. Number 3, use your list above to guide your prayers this week. Let those things, those places where you find yourself being challenged, pray about them. Let the Lord take over and do some heavy lifting for you in those places. Number 4, chances are the ratings of your stewardship are across the numbers. Yeah, just like mine. So just keep in mind, your identity with God is in Christ, and God's attitude toward you is love. He's madly in love with you. He cherishes you. And then 5, ask God to bless your life of stewardship in. So here's what stewardship is. Ask God to bless you in your thoughts, your stewardship of words, and your stewardship of action. So let me ask you this. After this sermon titled Stewardship, it's all about attitude. Aren't you thankful for God's attitude? Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.